All right, Reverend Gene Robinson is the former Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire, the first openly gay person elevated to that role in historic Christianity. Bishop Gene Robinson will weigh in on the historic presidential run of openly gay, openly religious Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Gene, it's always great to talk with you, and I thank you so much for being with us again today.
Thank you, Elton. You know I always say yes to you.
Well, I am so glad. when did you first become aware of Mayor Pete's campaign?
Well, I became aware of Mayor Pete when he ran for the Democratic National Committee chair a couple of years ago. And so then he seemed to come out of nowhere. But when he started his campaign about a year ago, or at least I became aware of it about a year ago, his was a name that was familiar to me, although I had never met him.
Mm-hmm.
I have a general practice that when someone who is LGBTQ sort of comes onto the national scene and all of a sudden is subject to a lot of scrutiny and to a crush of media, I call them up and say, you know, I've been to this rodeo and I've learned a few things. And here's my cell phone number. And if you ever want to talk, you know, call me day or night. And I will try to be of help to you. So I called up Mayor Pete and said that to him, and it led to a longer conversation. And I would say it's fair to say that I have maintained a personal and pastoral relationship with him ever since, but I've had no real connection to the campaign itself.
Hmm. Well, it wouldn't be you if you hadn't done something like that.
I will say that getting to know him a bit has been a wonderful experience, and I think he's a wonderful human being.
Mm. Was his sexuality the first thing you learned about him, or did that come later?
Well, in those earliest days, it was the thing that all of the news reports and pieces being written about him began with, because that's what made him somewhat unique. I think the really striking thing is how small a role it played from then on. That is to say, everyone was talking about how smart he was, how well-spoken he was, how organized he was, how up on the issues he was. He spoke eight languages, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All seemed to overshadow his sexuality.
Yeah. For millions of Americans, I know it was news to see an openly gay, happily married, deeply religious person on the national stage. Talk about why that is so important.
I don't think we've seen a person in public life, never mind politics, that so effectively and beautifully talked about the appropriate and rightful role of religion in the public square. That's what really caught my attention. Pretty much all of the candidates have some connection to religion, but this was different. Every time he talked about his own faith, he never missed saying, "This is about me. And your choices about your faith are your choices to make. And besides which, even if you don't identify with any faith tradition, you know, I mean to be your president." Mm-hmm. So every time he brought it up, he showed respect for other faith traditions, other world religions, as well as those who would identify with none of them.
Yeah.
That is the most remarkable thing about the way he has talked about this. And then the other way in which he's talked about it is in relation to his sexuality and his sexual orientation. And evidence of his effectiveness of doing that is that the religious right virtually has left him alone. Mm. And the reason, I think, is that he owns that space. He talks about his faith, and he talks about the Bible's role in his faith in such a way they dare not tangle with him, because he will run circles around them. And so it makes me very proud of him, and I think for LGBTQ people of faith, it is a remarkable addition to the public discourse.
You know, Gene, so many people think the struggle for the inclusion and dignity of LGBTQI persons is pretty much over in this country. In truth, almost every person comes to terms with a non-traditional sexual orientation or gender expression through a complicated and even dangerous process. And we know that role models can be an actual lifesaver during that process. With that in mind, what's the lasting effect of Mayor Pete's run for the White House?
Well, I said to him early on, and I've said it many times since, I said to him, regardless of how this political campaign turns out, whatever its result, the fact is that there is a gay teenager in Idaho or Alabama who now thinks he or she can be president of the United States. And what a remarkable thing. And nobody, absolutely nobody, can take that away from you. You've done that already. And it is an astounding thing to have done. You know, we fancy ourselves that this has all been worked out and there's no more problem with it in terms of a sexual orientation. That tends to be true of the East and West Coasts and a few big cities in between. But much of the country is not all that different than when I was growing up way too many years ago, with the exception of at least they know they're not alone because they've got the internet and they can find out that they're not the only one. But other than that, they face many of the same hardships and prejudices and discriminations that that existed back then. And you have to remember that in a majority of the states, there are no protections for LGBTQI people. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, it's still tough out there.
Yeah.
And we still have kids, you know, jumping off bridges and hating themselves because of the messages they get. So it's easy for many of us to believe that this fight is, you know, virtually over when in fact it's not.
I have to say, I was just stunned over and over again at how comfortable he was when he was in front of people. He simply felt like, look, this is who I am. I am comfortable with this, and I'm going to be who I am as I speak. Where did that come from with him?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how he got comfortable. But here's what I do know. It has been my experience that people are as comfortable with you as you are with yourself. Mm. And so, I mean, I think that's part of what happened to me. I had nothing to apologize about in terms of my sexual orientation, and it just seemed like the most normal thing in the world to me. Mm-hmm. And because I acted that way, an awful lot of people began to treat it as if it was the most normal thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's the piece around Pete's candidacy that has been so dramatic, and I think has added so much to his success. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. He clearly adores his husband, and he's been able to use it in the few times that he's been asked about it, especially if it's been in a critical way. He was like, "I love my husband. I'm faithful to my husband, and my history with him does not include paying off a porn star."
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's really savvy about how to maneuver in this way with his faith and with his sexuality. Where he learned that, I don't know, other than I will proudly say He came to the Episcopal Church as an adult. He is incredibly serious about it. A couple of months ago, he called up and said, I want to go to the National Cathedral for church this morning. Will you go with me? And I said, of course I will. So I arrive, and he and his entourage arrive. There is not a single press person there. There is not anyone at the cathedral who knows he's coming except for the dean, and I called the dean just so he had a heads up. He wasn't going there for a photo op. Mm-hmm. He was going there to worship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he is dead serious about his faith.
Yeah.
And I think part of that faith, at least as we in the Episcopal Church interpret it, is the message that God created him the way he is, and God stood back and said, it is very good.
Gene, I couldn't help but notice the number of social media users identifying as gay who were generous in their criticism and even ridicule of Pete. Where do you suppose that kind of dark energy came from?
Well, you know, we are so used to talking about LGBTQI people as if they were some monolithic group that all believes the same things. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we're as diverse as any other community. Mm. And so I think it's partly that. I also think that, you know, we are living in a time of high polarization, and it doesn't take much to set someone off, and especially younger people who have been pushing for greater and faster change in this country. Mm-hmm. And it's why Bernie Sanders' campaign has attracted so many of them. So it didn't surprise me. And no one candidate is going to be everything to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Would you talk a little bit about the critical need for empathy at this moment in our history and the healing that it can offer for both those practicing and those on the receiving end of empathy?
I don't know that we have ever had leadership in Washington as non-empathetic as we have now. And that makes for a world that is, I don't know, was it John Locke who called life nasty, brutish, and short?
Mm.
It makes for a dangerous and painful world. And empathy seems to be at the very center of all that we hope for, right? If we are empathetic to people fleeing violence in Central America and arriving at our borders, if we are empathetic to what it's like to be one of those children, we wouldn't be putting them in cages. We would be welcoming them the way the Bible tells us to. If we were actually empathetic with the poor, we wouldn't be giving tax cuts to all the wealthy and letting the poor be every man, woman, and child for themselves.
Mm.
So it seems to me that much of what ails us and much of what troubles so many of us right now comes from that lack of empathy. I mean, going back to Mayor Pete, you know, he never attacked his competitors the way that was, you know, fairly common among the others. And it's just one of the things that I respect about him. And it just tells me that as a president, he would have been very high on that empathy scale.
One more question, Gene, and this one is not for the candidate. It is for the bishop.
okay.
As we move through this election cycle, what are the priorities that you are focusing on from a moral and ethical perspective?
Well, I try not to be too political publicly, but I would have to say that I think the greatest threat to the United States of America, as we both know it and as we want it to be, is the current leadership.
Mm.
And like so many people during this campaign, That is our highest priority, because frankly, none of the other specifics that I would want to work on in terms of policy and the way we treat other nations and the way we treat the most vulnerable in our own culture, none of that gets solved unless the leadership issue gets solved.
Yeah.
And so, again, like so many other people, it's my top issue. I'm not going to agree with anyone on every point of policy. But, I mean, we've had presidents, both Republican and Democrat, who are empathetic, who can be moved by someone's pain and don't have to relate it all just to themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is the major goal of this campaign, and the rest will follow.
Mm. The Right Reverend Gene Robinson is the former Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire, the first openly gay person elevated to that role in historic Christianity. In retirement from that role, Gene has stayed active in ministry and social justice advocacy, currently holding the position of Vice President of Religion and Senior Pastor at the Chautauqua Institution in upstate New York. Gene, I don't know that looking at political television that I have ever cried before, but my wife and I sat watching the candidate this last week and saw something that is special, and we both cried seeing someone in that position who is comfortable with himself and showing people how to be normal as normal can be and still be special. And
right.
I know you've had some part in that. Gene, I am so grateful for your thoughts at this historical moment. It's always great to be with you, but this was special, and I thank you for being with us once again on State of Belief Radio.
You're so welcome, Walton. And, you know, I love talking with you, and I love the issues that you raise. They're so important, and perhaps at this time, more important than they've ever been in our lifetime.